Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby. And today I'm joined by Logan Lyles, who's the director of growth over at Business Builders. Logan, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mason. It's always good to chat with you and even better to record it, man.
I'm super stoked. One, it's been far too long since we chatted, and that's mostly my fault. So I'm glad we're able to catch up. Two, man, like we actually have quite a few agency owners specifically or service-based businesses that have really great founder-led expertise that come to Scrappy ABM and we're like, we love building an ABM program. And it's actually, I don't think this is the best fit for you. So we actually try to like move them more into a podcast approach, talking about inviting your best fit customers onto the show to build relationships and yada, yada, yada. And as I was thinking, I want to find more experts that have done this and lived this and can showcase the impact. And there are very few that have done it better than you. So I'm excited to like dig into it and talk through like, how have you used podcasting as an account-based program? What have been some of the impacts that you've seen? And then also how would you recommend somebody get started? So real quick, can you just give us like the resume that you've got as it relates to doing this kind of a program?
I always like to say I'm a marketer who feels too much like a salesperson and a salesperson who's too much of a marketer to be comfortable in either camp. So I'm like the weirdo in between. And for me, that really came to a head in 2018. At that point, I had been in my career out of college for 10 years, and I had been doing some technology sales, all B2B, but more local, regional. And I met this guy named James Carberry that you and I both know. And he had an agency called Sweetfish Media that actually pivoted from blog writing to podcasting. And about that time, he was looking for somebody to step in, take over sales from the founder. I had the opportunity to step into that role. And one of the first things he said was, would you be okay in this sales role of becoming the primary host of our podcast, B2B Growth, that was focused on interviewing, at that time, Sweetfish's target ICP, our buyer persona, were typically VPs of marketing, maybe directors, maybe CMOs at B2B SaaS companies. And so I hopped into that role. And before I even started taking sales calls, I was stepping into the role as podcast host, interviewing our ideal customers as guests on the show, and then navigating those into sales conversations. And it was within, I want to say like 35 days of starting as the director of sales there at Sweetfish to closing our first podcast guest as a client of the agency.
So as we're talking about like B2B sales cycles, they're not typically 35 days in which you're actually closing a deal from your first day on the job. Mm-hmm. So I have always loved and somewhat blatantly stolen some of the approaches to podcasting from Sweetfish and from James specifically. You did that for 4.5 years. Like you were the lead sales guy. So I'm just curious, in those 4.5 years, like how much revenue were you able to help generate through a podcast for an agency?
That's a good question. The stat I know, and it's actually in the book by this name. So James initially, I remember I was sitting in a Airbnb in Boston outside of the Flip My Funnel conference in 2018. And we were trying to come up with a name for this strategy. And we landed on content-based networking. James ended up writing the book by that title. It's a great one on this strategy if you're interested. It's still on Audible and Amazon and all that sort of stuff. And in the book, he references that within the first 6 months of me being on board and running this playbook, we tripled the business. We went from, I think, like 200,000 a year the year prior, and we were 750,000 the following year. And we went on to hit the Inc. 5,000 2 years in a row. 1 year, we were just outside the Inc. 500. Total new business, I'm not sure, but like that tripling the business in the first 6 months is always the stat that I kind of point to there.
So it was mildly effective.
Mildly, yeah. is long story short, right?
So again, you learned it there. You've continued to do podcasting as a way of continuing to generate revenue. And I'm just curious, as you're thinking about how to get started, if somebody's thinking about the idea of, I want to get more conversations with their best fit customers, I want to actually roll a program out like this, how would you actually recommend somebody get started?
So I think the biggest pitfall from the get-go is to not decide which path you're going down. And you can even see this with Sweetfish today. Like, they no longer execute this strategy primarily for clients. They're executing podcasts as a way of building thought leadership, growing an audience, that sort of stuff. We were lucky in the early days of Sweetfish where we were doing both. We were doing content-based networking, meaning the way we were measuring success was guests turning into prospects, turning into opportunities and closed deals. Not necessarily how many downloads, how many leads are we getting. We weren't even really doing that many direct calls to action for our agency in the podcast, even though we grew a pretty big audience. But I would say if you're starting a podcast, whether you're an agency or some other sort of service-based business where you've got a very clear TAM or total addressable market, you've got a narrow niche that you're going after, decide, do I want to do a podcast to grow an audience and our expertise, or do I want to do it for this content-based networking play? And if you want to do both, but don't try and mix them, because then you'll start looking at, should we have this guest on? Do they have a big audience? Can they help us promote the show? Oh, wait, they're not an ideal fit customer for us. And there's just a difference in the way that you would structure the show, the, you know, how many episodes you're going to do, all those sorts of things. So if you make that decision and you say, okay, I'm not going to mix these two because I hear what Logan's saying, I'm going to either do both or I'm just going to go down this content-based networking path, I would say make sure that you begin with and continue to track the goal of how many interviews are we doing? How many of those interviews turn into sales calls? What's the close rate on those sales calls? And what is the revenue coming out of it? Very much like you would with an ABM play, you're taking a very targeted approach and you're looking at the conversion rates, just instead of ads to sales calls or email campaigns, right? You're looking at interviews. Don't look at the downloads. The content needs to be good because if you're going to invite your ideal customers, like, you need to have your stuff together. And we can talk about like some of the minimums there and ways to do it effectively without a big budget. So don't get me wrong there, but I was doing daily episodes and we were just turning them around, kind of minimal editing. We had a process. And now, especially fast forward now, the tools you can use to do it yourself without a large team are way ahead of where we were back in 2018.
It's interesting because we've got an account executive named Jim who runs a show called Account-Based Beverages, and he's been running that show for a couple of years and brought it with him. And we actually agreed is Scrappy ABM is actually going to be more of an audience-based thought leadership show.
Yep.
And Account-Based Beverages is actually more of the ICP type play.
Yep.
So smart. It just creates very clear goals for each show. So like Jim actually on his scorecard has, he's doing 10 interviews a week and creating a bunch of content, and we post 2 clips a day from our ICP. So like, That's a simple way that somebody can actually mix the two is actually maybe just creating 2 shows and just like recognizing, Jim's episodes are like 8 minutes long. Like it's literally a 15 minutes time slot. Yep. He asks 2 questions, gets a great interview, builds rapport. So again, as we're thinking through just the different strategies, like you can go for the audience-based approach or you can do the account-based approach. When we actually start to think through practically and tactically how to get started, what are some of the tips you'd give somebody on actually getting the show live?
You need to have the basics, pick out where you're going to host the show. You need to have cover art to have a legitimate show and get it live in all the different directories. I think some other hosting platforms provide some other advanced things. But if you're just getting started and you're looking for simplicity, Buzzsprout does a really good job of kind of walking you through, hey, use this as your hosting platform, walks you through getting it listed in Spotify and Apple and all the others. Right. And so with a Buzzsprout account, a cover art, which you could probably generate with Midjourney or even something simpler these days, you don't even necessarily need, or Canva for that matter, you don't need, you know, crazy design. Then it becomes about structuring the show. And I like what you said about your AE that's running account-based beverages. Keep it short, keep it succinct. You can even very much templatize it around 2 to 5 questions, right? So that you're not having to do a whole lot of thinking about preparing for the episode, researching the guest, all of that sort of stuff. And I would say, once you've got that in place, then it's about starting your outreach. So a couple of places that I go, if this is account-based, would be like LinkedIn Sales Navigator or Apollo to start to build some lists. You guys might have some other recommendations there since ABM obviously is your play. So you can chime back in on that. I used to say, like back in 2018, when we started on Sweetfish, we were doing a lot of email outreach that worked really well. And we were using Mailshake for that. And we found that worked better in kind of the one-to-one outreach. Lately, I've been finding LinkedIn a whole lot more effective in doing one-to-one outreach, whether you're doing that pretty manually or you're using automation or kind of semi-automated workflow with a tool like Drippify, which is really affordable, really good at helping you structure sequences in the LinkedIn DMs, and works really well if you change your ask from an immediate pitch to your product or service to an ask that is, hey, do you want to be featured as a guest on our podcast? From there, one of my favorite tools for recording is Riverside.fm. It's a great tool for recording, as well as now you can even do a lot of your editing, especially if it's going to be, you're not so concerned with the production value and getting everything perfect, that Riverside allows you to just drop on an intro, an outro. If you need to cut something out, you can just cut it from the transcript that it generates and export that, push it right to Buzzsprout, even have Riverside write the show notes for you, and then publish to Buzzsprout and off you go. And then even use Riverside for their magic clips to create clips for you where you can share those with the guest, post those on your social. Again, you're not trying to necessarily grow the audience, but it's a nice touch to create those assets to reinforce the value and the rapport and relationship building that you're doing with the guest. So I would suggest doing some sort of content repurposing, even if it's not the greatest in the world, the highest touch, for the relationship building aspect.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I want to specifically pull out of when we think about list building. We've just been using a lot of SalesNav because one, the other thing that we're focused on is who is actually likely to post the content. And to your point, it's not even necessarily to grow the audience, but if you invite a VP of marketing onto a show and then you send them clips and they post those clips, their director of marketing, their product marketer, their SDR leader, the team is connected. So they will see your two faces next to each other, which we have found is a great way of actually establishing a relationship pretty early. Oh yeah, I've seen some of your content with our boss, like super easy tie-in. I just think if the goal is how do I build great relationships and great content that's engaging and then also allows me to have good follow-ups post-interview, then I think that's super helpful. I especially think given that you started in this as the salesperson, for a lot of people that I'm talking with about how to get started, I'm just like, take your discovery script and just ask that. Like literally just do a discovery call on a recording and just ask questions of, so how'd you do this thing? Oh, that's awesome. How'd you do the next thing? And just keep rolling with that. And you end up being able to really get a lot of great information that you can use for your sales follow-ups.
I was going to go there exactly as you were, and I'm glad you brought it up, because one of the things I started doing is, I've done this in multiple iterations of this strategy. I've recommended it to other folks, is at the bare minimum, you should be asking some form of, what's one problem that you and your team are trying to solve over the next 90 days? It's time bound, it's specific, it's relevant to right now, and it is good content. If I were just trying to get good content out of guests, that would give me an indication of what is my target market struggling with. It's going to share with others. What are they struggling with? Is this common? How are you dealing with that? What are the things you haven't solved yet? Like, it's just good content, but it is great fodder for basically sales discovery that is giving you those talking points. Because I will say, in the early days, one thing I didn't do well was strategically create those hand-raising moments with the guest. One thing, I got this from Mike Alton at Agora Pulse, great podcast host. I think he's hosting four or five different shows right now where he's running this strategy a lot. Oh, yeah. One thing I love that he does is he scripted an ad for Agora Pulse. And as he's got the guest on the show, he's doing a live read of an ad of their value prop, what problem they solve, how people can take next steps. And think about that. Whatever your agency does or your business does, create kind of a 15 to 30 second ad. And if Mason, you're the guest, and I'm like, oh, Mason, just real quick, we're going to pause for station identification. No, for a quick shout out. And you kind of read through that, you'll get people leaning in and saying, hey, what was that thing you talked about? How did you guys drive results for that other company or whatever content was in that ad? And so it can be, talk about ABM ads being targeted right in front. How about getting an ABM ad, quote unquote, in front of the decision maker while you're sitting in front of them? Yep. And it's not directly that you're pitching them, but you're just reading the ad while they're, quote unquote, in the room.
That is exactly actually what we're doing with Jim. So Jim's show is going to be sponsored by Scrappy ABM. So between question one and two, he's going to do a quick ad read for Scrappy ABM.
Yep.
So and this is a very affirming episode that we're not crazy. Thank you. Logan, is there anything else that you'd recommend for somebody that's trying to think through how to just get started with an account-based podcast type approach?
Yeah, I would say you could also run this play, just zooming out from podcasting as the account-based strategy to content-based networking. Essentially, this strategy is taking your target audience and the decision makers at your target accounts and inviting them to create content with you. If you're like, as simple as you made it sound and the tools that can help me DIY it really quickly, Logan, like I'm just not comfortable being on camera, on the microphone, whatever, you can do content-based networking in other ways and make the ask, hey, do you want to be a contributor to a blog article we're putting together? Do you want to submit 5 answers to questions for a research report that we're doing? Do you want to be a guest on a webinar similar to the podcast? But those are just 3 other ways that you could run this same strategy. If you're like, I don't want to do podcasting, that's not my thing. I prefer to write, or we want to do research-based content, whatever. So think about some of those things if it's not really resonating. And then I would say create strategic touch points with your guests. So post interview, create a follow-up quick 15 or 10 minute check-in to say, hey, we do like a promotion plan call with our guests just to talk about when am I going to post? When are you going to post? Are you going to send this to your email list? When are we going to time that? And you can, again, create really clear structure for that so that you've got another touch point with them. Another hack I would recommend is if you're using Calendly or HubSpot meetings to book your recording appointments, which you absolutely should be. If you're going to do this at volume, it needs to be efficient. Make sure you ask for their mobile number so that after you record, you can send them a text and be like, Mason, that was fantastic. Thank you so much for being our guest. It just changes the dynamic when you get on a text-based relationship with someone. Doesn't mean that then you're going to hound them via text. Hey, do you want to book a call? This and that. But it changes the game a little bit. So think about like, how could I create another touch point with another call? And how could I open up the relationship on another channel? If that's LinkedIn DMs, if you started on email, if it's email, if you started on LinkedIn DMs, if it's text, if you started on the other two and you don't have that contact information. So just think about what are the things in your sales process that give you more leverage from a relationship building, from an insight perspective, like the questions we were asking, or touch point and rapport, and bake those into the process similar to those examples we just shared.
Super smart. Logan, thank you so much for joining me today on this episode and digging into a couple of really practical things that I have not heard of. And I've been doing this for 4 years. Like the promotion call, super smart. Like I had not thought about. And it just, yeah, especially if you can get this sent out to their email list. Again, the goal isn't to grow an audience, but what I've found is that my target accounts are friends with my target accounts. If we can get them to promote more, you'll get in front of more of the right fit audience. So Logan, if people want to find out more about you and Business Builders, where would you send them?
Yeah, so connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty easy to find. Logan Lyles, L-Y-L-E-S. One of the things we do at Business Builders is help other agencies, service-based businesses, and companies at large get their messaging right so that if you're doing cold outreach, if you're doing account-based marketing, if you're whatever marketing you're implementing, you've got to start with the right messaging. And so we built a free 5-part course. If you go to storybrandcourse.com, you can get access to all 5 videos and several templates and checklists in there. So go to storybrandcourse.com. And then the third thing I'll say is, if there are any fellow agency folks like you and I, Mason, who are listening to this, we have a free peer-to-peer community where we've got 400 marketing agencies, owners, as well as leadership team members that are in our community in Slack, and now we're expanding on a Circle where they're swapping notes, they're asking questions they don't quite feel comfortable asking publicly out on LinkedIn. So you're getting the real stories and real solutions to things within your agency. You can check that out at agencybuilders.com.
Again, love the practical tips here, but also just for agency owners, I can attest, the business builders team, they've also been around for a minute. Like
26 years, Jay started the agency in 99. So I can literally say last millennia, business builders was creating websites and marketing plans for clients.
Yeah. And like at the time this started to be a little bit doom and gloom, but I've just seen a lot of agencies hit some hard times.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for community, couldn't recommend it more highly. So Logan, again, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM and we'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.